Happy Sunday, Northwoods Online. We're so glad that you're here. My name's Hope.
And I'm Jason. And right now, if you would take your phone and text the word new to the number that's on your screen right now, and just let us know, hey, this is your first time joining on Northwoods Online. We would love to connect with you. Hope actually connects with everybody that that joins online.
Yeah. When it's your first time online, and it's so fun just getting to chat with people every week. There's usually at least one person new, and so if that's you this weekend, go ahead and text that number so that we can get connected. And you know, we would also just love to know, we were just talking about what did you do this week to implement Sabbath? That's what Pastor Cal taught on last week, so we'd love for you to just drop that in the chat this morning.
Yeah, the chat is the perfect way to connect with somebody live. They can even answer some prayer requests for you too. They're trained to pray with you, and it really is bringing this large church to just a smaller community.
Yeah. I love what we get to do online and how we get to connect with people. And you know, there is something that I am so excited to tell you guys about. I have been praying for this to happen for a long time, and we're finally here. We are going to have an online group launch event coming up on November 4th. And so if you're interested in joining an online small group, so maybe you'd meet via FaceTime or Zoom or Teams or whatever would work for you. But if you're looking for community and an online group is what would work best for you and fit for you, I really, really want you to make time to be at that event. It's going to be virtual again, November 4th, and I will get you more information if you're interested. You can go ahead and join our Facebook group. That's a place where you can connect and get more information about the things coming up online. Or if you fill out the connection card this morning in the Northwoods app, which we always want you to do. When you do that and you say that you're watching online, you'll get an email from me, and I'm going to include some more information about that online virtual group launch event. So again, I'm so excited. It's November 4th, and I am looking forward to it. And I hope that if you are ready to connect in a group here at Northwoods, that you will be there that day.
Yeah, what an amazing way to utilize technology.
Yeah.
I mean, we have people watching from all over the world, really. So to bring them all together in a small group online to just join in a huge community. Like, I love that aspect of what we get to do.
Absolutely.
But right now, we need to go ahead and join in to worship. So Northwoods starts right now.
Good morning, church. We are here today with the purpose of elevating the name of Jesus. God says in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord. That is my name, and I will not share my glory with anyone. And so we want to agree with God's word today, and we want to say, I'm not going to give glory to anyone or anything else. So right now, we're just going to come into God's presence and lift his name up. Would you sing this with us?
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name.
Hidden glory increase.
Victory for the battle.
Oh, thank you, God, that you go before us. Lord, that you fight the battles for us. Lord, that you ask us to bring nothing but ourselves to you and you do the rest. Lord, your word says that who can be against us because you are for us. And it's so true, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Holy Spirit, we invite you in today, Lord, and we pray that you would fill us afresh. Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word and help us to receive it and follow you, Lord, and walk with you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray, amen. Well, you can have a seat. Good morning. Welcome to Northwoods, where our mission is inviting broken world people to experience complete freedom in Christ Jesus. My name is Janine, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. Now, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you, and we would love to connect with you. The best way to do that is to text the word new to the number on your screen, and someone will reach out to you here in the next week. Now, everyone else, we want to know that you're with us, too. We love that you're here today and that you're spending part of your weekend with us, and we want to connect with you. So open up your Northwoods mobile app and complete the connection card, and while you're in there, share your thoughts, ask us any questions you might have, and let us know how we can be praying for you. Now, if you came today prepared to give, we have several simple ways that you can do that. You can go to our website, you can go to the mobile app, or you can text the word give to the number on the screen. And you can always drop it in any of the boxes that are located around the building. And of course, you can always drop it in the mail. Well, I want to be honest with you for just a second. There was a time in my life when I would do just about anything to keep from going to church. I would, if a friend asked me, I would come up with any excuse I could. If my husband wanted to go, I made sure that I didn't have anything to wear the next day, and I didn't set the alarm clock. I was scared to go to church because I was afraid of what people would think about me, or I was embarrassed about what I didn't know that I thought I needed to know that now I know I didn't need to know, right? Well, if you guys have someone like that in your life, we have a really great inviting opportunity for you. So check this out.
One time I get to church, 7 years old, there's a dead body in the front. It's a funeral. Nobody explains that to a 7-year-old Michael Jr. I'm thinking that's how they roll. Like every 3 weeks or so, they bring a dead body in as an example or something. And the dude on stage yell at everybody in the audience like they the ones that did it. I remember asking my grandmother, I'm looking for some explanation. I'm like, Grandma, what happened to the man in the box? What happened to the man in the box? Her whole explanation was, he in a better place. I'm like, what kind of box did he live in before?
That is just a small taste of the kind of fun we're going to have next week. So be sure and extend your invites out to those friends who've even been telling you no for a while, because I'm so glad no one gave up on me. So join us next week for some good laughs and some clean fun. Well, as you can see, we're going to take a short intermission in the series we're doing on the Ten Commandments, but we hope you'll join us the next week as Pastor John shares with us about positive conflict resolution. Well, I can hardly believe that tomorrow is November 1st, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. And I don't know about you guys, but when my kids were younger, they would definitely be having their list going right now. And a lot of kids today, it seems like, are asking for the newest Xbox or PlayStation, or maybe the newest phone that's just been released. Well, there are kids around the world who would love to have a new toothbrush, or a warm pair of socks, or some pretty bows to go in their hair. Well, you may have noticed there are Operation Christmas Child booths all over the church right now. This is an incredible ministry that gives a gift to a child in a small box with really big prayers. They get to not only get a box filled with gifts, but they also get to hear the gospel in their language, and then they get to participate in discipleship activities. And the more boxes we send, the more kids that are blessed and the more lives that are changed. And we've made it really simple for you. All you need to do is head out to any of the Operation Christmas Child booths and pick up a box. bring it out, fill it up with gifts, and bring it back to us, and we'll take care of the rest. And if time is an issue, all you need to do is head over to the Connections bookstore, buy a pre-made box, bring it back to us, and we'll take it from there. It's really that simple. If you'd like to learn more about it, you can go to the website or visit one of the Operation Christmas Child booths. Well, as always, you can access everything I've shared with you this morning on our website or our mobile app. So now let's get ready for Pastor John today.
Well, good morning, Northwoods. Great to see all of you, and good morning to those of you tuning in with us as well online. Always great to have you with us. And I want to just kind of add my voice to what you just heard in the announcements. You know, Janine shared about Michael Jr. coming next week, and I just want to add, Michael Jr., you know, he's been here before. If you've heard him, he is hilarious, and he always does an incredible job. And so that is a weekend where it is high invite. If there's someone, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, man, I've been inviting them, never come with me. This is an easy invite to bring someone to church with you. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed. And let me just say this right out of the gate, because I've heard Michael Jr. enough. I want to tell you just in advance. Usually when he comes to a church, he always starts with a joke about how the pastor took him out to Hooters the night before, okay? If you hear that, don't believe it. I'm not taking him out to Hooters, all right? But he always starts with that. I'm always like, I'm going to get out in front of that next time. So anyways, it'll be a good week next week. And again, you know, with the 10-week series, we just thought it'd be great to break it up right in the middle and bring him in and have some fun. So that's next week. But today, you know, we're continuing our series, 10 Commandments. We're on the fifth commandment. And I hope as you've been with us, I hope you've been enjoying this series as much as I have. You know, I had the privilege of being at our Chillicothe campus last week, and as I was listening to my dad preach, not only was I convicted, because it was a great word on, you know, having limits and Sabbath, but I was overwhelmed again at just how incredibly relevant. You know, God's word is always relevant, but I've just been overwhelmed at throughout this series how incredibly relevant God's word is to today. And I had the thought that, you know what, these commandments we're going through are not old-fashioned, but they are well-fashioned. And so today we're on commandment number 5, and we're talking about honoring our parents. You know, I recently came across a quote from John Calvin, who was a French theologian and prominent member of the Protestant Reformation. And he said this, he said, "Those who abusively and stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters and not men." So in other words, if, you know, if your kid wants to dress up as a monster for Halloween, according to Calvin, you don't even have to get him a costume. All they have to do is just not obey their parents. That's a real monster right there. Now, I will admit his quote is a little bit strong. It was a different time, 500 years ago. But sometimes a voice from several hundred years ago might be needed to awaken us to the seriousness of the command to honor our parents. So today we're going to dig into this command. So if you have your Bible and want to follow along, we're going to be in Exodus 20 and verse 12. And I'll remind you again as you're turning there that the Ten Commandments are actually found in two different places in the Bible. You have Exodus 20 and then you have Deuteronomy 5. So we're in Exodus 20 and verse 12. So here's the commandment. "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, I want to start by drawing your attention to the specific placement of this command. This is commandment number 5. And as I shared in the beginning of this series, it seems that commands 1 through 4 speak to our vertical relationship with God, our love for God, and commands 5 through 10 speak to our horizontal relationship with other people, our love for other people. And so I think there is a sense in which this command can be viewed as the foundation upon which love for others is built. In other words, learning to love your neighbor starts or begins with honoring your parents. And while I believe that Satan tries to work at destroying all of these commands, it seems evident to me that there is a concerted effort to drive wedges between children and parents and create an atmosphere of dishonor. Why is that? And I was thinking about that this week, and I think about honor kind of being like the link that keeps one generation connected to the next. Honor's like the link that keeps us connected to our parents. But if you can sever the connection between children and parents, you can unravel a society. Let me just give you a few examples of this. In Germany, when Hitler rose to power, one of the ways he used to exert control over people was by encouraging kids to turn their parents in if they disagreed with the state. So he tried to teach kids that allegiance to the state is the building block of a healthy society. In essence, he was teaching people to dishonor their parents and thus severing the connection between children and parents. Just this week, and I'll give you another example, I was listening to Dr. Oz Guinness, who's a Christian cultural analyst, and he's written many books, spoken all over the world, and he shared that in France, during the French Revolution, which some say was the birthplace of the sexual revolution, LGBT, he shared that many of the thinkers and writers of that time knew that their radical ideas would not win out unless they could overcome two things. Number one, the church, and number two, parents. In other words, you want to sexualize a culture, take out the voice of the church, and sever the link between children and parents. In fact, it's quite alarming to me that I see some of the same rhetoric happening right here in America. Now, I'm not saying that we're turning into Germany or something like that. I'm just saying that you've probably seen this. In some circles, there is a push to completely remove parents from the equation when it comes to speaking into what children should be taught in public schools. Speaking to this, a prominent news host recently said this. She said, "We have to break through our private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities." I want you to understand what she's saying there. She's saying the way to build a better society is to remove the parents from being the influence and the teachers of their children, and let's let the secular community be those who are raising our children. That's a form of trying to sever the link between parents and children. I just want to ask you, does it appear that Satan has a vested interest in destroying this command? I think if you look around, you see it all over the place. Now, this is kind of a side note, but I want to just talk to us as a church for a moment. You know, we live in a culture that is very much a dishonoring culture. But it's my heart, and I hope it's all of our heart, to see the culture of this church be a culture of honor. You know, when you think about what's going on in our culture, you know, age, experience, wisdom, we throw those things out. It's kind of like, you know, the older generation, you know, there's not much honor there. If you think about pop culture, what's cool is really what 15 to 25 year olds are doing. And so it's like, hey, we honor youth. But when it comes to the older generations, it's kind of like, you know, they're on their way out. You know, we have a lot of honor for young people. In this church, I want you to know, yes, we are going to be focused on reaching the next generation. We have to be. If you don't reach the next generation, you die. But in this church, we are going to honor age and wisdom and experience. I hope when people step in here, it almost feels countercultural that yes, we're focused on reaching the next generation, but you see the old and the young, and it is a culture of honor. That's the kind of church we're gonna be. And here's why. I want you to think about this. I was thinking about this morning as I was reading in my Bible. Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. So if you read that, Jesus talked about how he was not honored in his hometown. And the very next verse would say that Jesus did not do much, he did not heal many people there because he was amazed at their lack of faith. I want you to understand, honor is connected to faith. Where there is a culture of honor, there will be an atmosphere of faith. But where there is lack of honor, there will be lack of faith. We're going to build a culture of honor here. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to honor what the Lord says. And in that culture, that is where faith grows. I want you to make that connection. Church, God put this command in his top 10 for a reason. And as he was establishing a new nation with Israel, God was saying, this command is foundational to not only a life that goes well, but to a society that flourishes. And so we must take this command seriously and not allow an atmosphere of dishonor to permeate our relationship with our parents. I think we all must look inside and say, am I honoring my parents? Now, let me just say this at the outset. I understand that it is much more natural for us to do this when we were raised by parents who loved us, supported us, encouraged us, and for the most part, acted honorably. But there are some of us here today and listening today who your parents acted very dishonorably. And the idea of honoring them seems almost impossible. But let me just challenge you today. I understand, I might not understand because I haven't had those type of parents, but I've heard the stories and it breaks my heart. But I want to challenge you today to listen with an open heart and ask God what it might look like for you to respond in obedience to the fifth command. Because God didn't say, if your parents were honorable, then honor them. No, he just said, honor your father and your mother. So if you've had very dishonorable parents, I want to encourage you, open your heart today and ask God to show you what it might look like for you to respond in obedience to this commandment. But if we're going to respond in obedience, we have to understand what it means to honor. So let's talk about for a moment the meaning of honor. The meaning of honor. If you look up that word honor in the Hebrew, it means heavy or weighty. So I think we could say parenting is a very weighty thing, but I think we should also say to honor means to weigh your parents down with respect, with gratitude, with praise, to place on them great worth and value. See, parents are worthy of being weighed down with respect and having great worth and value placed on them, not just because of what they've done, I want you to get this, but because of what they represent. Let me explain this. Pastor Larry Stockstill, who's someone who I've got to sit under his teaching and his training, helped me understand more about this when he shared about a time when his wife and him were vacationing down at the beach. He said that one day a storm rolled in, the wind was howling, it's pouring rain, lightning's flashing all around. In the midst of the storm, Larry's wife watched a man who happened to be a veteran walk out onto the beach in the midst of this storm to a flagpole where an American flag was flailing in the storm. This man walked out to this flag, stood in the rain, saluted the flag, and then respectfully took the flag down and brought it to safety inside. Here's what I want you to get. The man didn't walk out into the storm because he just wanted to honor a piece of fabric, you know, flapping in the storm. He honored the flag, not because of just what it is, but because of what it represented. Namely, millions of American men and women who have given their lives to birth, defend, and protect this nation. So, understand, honor is looking past the thing or the person and honoring what it or they represent. So even if your parents have been less than honorable, understand God isn't calling you to honor the dishonorable acts. He's calling you to honor them because of the position they hold. Now, it certainly makes it easier if they've lived an honorable life, but at the very least, they are worthy of honor because apart from them, you wouldn't be here. Our life came through them. And so at the very least, they're worthy of honor because of the life they gave us. But we also honor parents because being in a position of parent and raising children is hard work. Now, I didn't realize it until I had my own kids, but just how much of a sacrifice being a parent is. It's a sacrifice of your time, your energy, your money. Hello, somebody. All right, it's hard work. And so at the very least, we honor the position. So honor is choosing to weigh parents down with respect and with praise and to place a high value on them because of the position that they hold. Okay, so that's the meaning of honor. Now let's move on. Let's talk about the promise attached to honor. So we get what honor means. Let's talk about the promise attached to honor. I want you to look back at the command in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving. Now, if you look at this commandment in Deuteronomy, there's a little bit extra added to the commandment. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 5. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long. We've seen that. Now, here's what's added. And that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. So it adds that it may go well with you. Again, who wants to live long if it ain't going well with you? Let me give you one other passage. Paul quotes this commandment in the New Testament, Ephesians 6. He says, honor your father and mother. And he says, which is the first commandment with a promise? It's a promise. What's the promise? So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So catch that. Paul says there is a promise attached to honor. What's the promise? That it may go well and that you may enjoy long life on earth. So let's talk about that for a moment. When God told the Israelites, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you, he was talking about it going well with them in the land in which he had called them to, right? They're heading to the promised land. And just like the Israelites, each of us have a land, a calling, a destiny on our life. And it seems to me that God is saying, if you will honor your parents, it will go well for you in the spaces in which I have called you. You know, when I think about my own life, I know that, you know, each of us, God has called us to himself first and foremost. But when I think about my life, I know that he's called me to be a husband. He's called me to be a father. He's called me to be one who proclaims his word. He's called me to help care for the staff of this church and to help care for the body of believers that make up this church. And I believe with all of my heart, it's not that I've never had bad moments in my life. It's not that bad things have never happened. But I believe with all my heart that part of the reason that I can say things have generally gone well for me in the spaces he has called me is because I have made a commitment to honor my parents. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I'm just saying I've always strived to honor my parents and will continue for the rest of my life. And I believe that's one of the reasons why things have gone well with me in the spaces that he has called me. And I believe in the spaces that he's called you, if you will honor your parents, things will go well with you there. It's a promise. But it also says that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, there's if you kind of read some of the people who scholars and commentators on this, there'll be some who say you shouldn't take this to mean you'll live longer if you honor your parents. And they'll look at all the exceptions of people who have honored their parents and died young. And they say, so we shouldn't take this to mean that. And I get there are exceptions, but it seems to me that if we take God at face value, that's what he's saying. That's what Paul said. It's a promise that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Peter Horobin, in his book, Our Faithful God, shared a story of a young lady whom he had the privilege of praying for named Karen. And Karen was 18 and was dying of double kidney failure. And the doctors had given her about 12 months to live. And Peter shared that as he was praying for her, he sensed the Lord telling him to ask her about her mother. And he kept thinking, no, why would I do that? The problem's her kidneys, not her mom. But he couldn't shake that feeling. And so he asked about her mom. And in response, this girl said, I have no idea who my mother or my father is. So I can't answer your question. My mother became pregnant at age 16, and I was the result. I was given away for adoption the moment I was born and have absolutely no knowledge of who my parents were or are. And when Peter asked her if she had not only forgiven them, but also thanked God for her life, which came through them, she said, absolutely not. And so he said, have you thought about doing that? This is something God commands us to do. And so right there, he led this dying girl in a prayer of forgiveness and then watched her thank God for the life that he had given her through her parents and then helped her pray God's blessing over her parents. In other words, she was honoring her parents. And then he shared 6 weeks after that encounter, he received a letter from Karen sharing that she had been back to the hospital for another appointment, but this time the doctors could find zero evidence of there being anything wrong with her kidneys. So they told her, forget everything we've told you and go live a normal life. Isn't God good? And I want you to hear me. I'm not saying if you forgive your parents, you'll automatically get healed of any ailment you have and you're guaranteed long life. I'm just saying there seems to be evidence from Scripture and the testimony of others that when we are obedient to God, it is life-giving, it is life-maintaining, and it is life-restoring. So let's be clear. There is a promise attached to this command. And I would say it this way, if you will honor your parents, God will honor his promise. If you will honor your parents, God will honor his promise. So we've talked about the meaning of honor, the promise attached to honor. Now let's get real practical and let's talk about the outworking of honor. What does this look like? I want to give you kind of some practical ways of doing this. So in closing, let's get real practical. I want to give you five phrases that help us to understand how honor works out in a relationship. So here's phrase number one. Yes, Dad, and yes, Mom. Yes, Dad, and yes, Mom. So right now I'm talking to the young people in the room. You're not required to just submit and do whatever your parents say once you get out from under their roof. But when you're living under their roof, honor looks like obedience. If you're still living under your parents' house, honor looks like under their roof. Honor looks like obedience. Colossians 3:20, Apostle Paul said, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now listen, I get it. I've lived under my parents' roof before. Being obedient to parents can be hard. It's hard sometimes. But I want you to think about this. Because I've had students working in children ministry in student ministry who come back from a retreat and just say, you know what, I'm on fire for the Lord and my parents aren't, and I'm just in such this good place that it's really, I don't really need to obey them because they're not committed to the Lord. I am. But I want you to think about this. Jesus was perfect. He was perfect, never sinned. But he was parented by imperfect parents. His parents were not sinless. And if anyone had an excuse to question their parents' judgment and potentially not obey, it might have been Jesus. But Jesus obeyed his parents. You want to be like Jesus? Obey your parents. In the book of Luke, Jesus' parents took him on a trip to Jerusalem for the Passover. So in the story they talk about this in the Bible, he was 12. They went there. And when it came time to return home, Jesus stayed back, and Mary and Joseph, thinking Jesus was with them, left, and this blows my mind. It says they traveled for a day. Listen, if you've ever left a child somewhere, go easy on yourself. Let it go, all right? Mary and Joseph traveled for a day without Jesus, an entire day's journey. So when they realize Jesus isn't with them, they return. They look for him for a couple days, and they find him, and they take him home. And I want you to look at what Luke 2:51 says. It says, then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, and he was, there's that word, obedient to them. And then it says, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Well, I think I would treasure it up too if my child always obeyed, wouldn't you? You want to be like Jesus, be obedient to your parents. But now, I want you to see something, because sometimes we miss the connection here. Look at what the very next verse says. So we looked at 251, look at 252, and then it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Do you think there's any connection between 51 and 52? I think there is. When you honor your parents through obedience, I believe that you will grow in wisdom, in stature, that's maturity, and in favor with God and men. Do you want that? You want to grow? Obey your parents. When you're under their roof, honor looks like obedience. Let me give you another phrase. Thank you. This is also what honor looks like. Thank you. Now, it's much easier to look back at our parents and focus on the things they did wrong. I think we can all look at our parents and say they should have done this different, this different, this different. And, you know, we can look back and say, here's the things they did wrong. Or here's the things they should have done different. And when it comes to looking at our parents, I've just found it's not hard to play the victim and focus on their deficits and errors and say, well, they blew it and now I'm paying the price. Or all my pain, you know, in my life is just because of them. I want you to think about this though. You know, as I have now have a parent of three children, I've just come to realize that every parent, no matter who you are, most of the time is just doing their best with what little wisdom they have. That's me. I'm just doing the best I can with what little wisdom I have. And yes, I'm gonna fall short sometimes. And that was your parents too. Most parents are just doing the best they could with what little wisdom they have. And so there's going to be shortcomings. But honor, while it doesn't call us to deny the shortcomings, it does call us to focus on the things they did get right and thank them for it. Have you thought about some of the things that your parents did get right? Might be that some of us need to pick up the phone today and call our parents and say, Mom, Dad, I don't know that I've said thank you enough for all that you've done for me. Thank you for, and be specific, thank you for taking the time to play catch with me in the yard. Thank you for being at my ballet recitals as a kid. Thank you for teaching me what character and integrity look like. You know, when I think about my own dad, one of the things, I'm thankful for a lot of things he did, but one of the things I'm most thankful for is the name he gave me, because he gave me a name that is free from scandal, that is free from non-character. He gave me a name that is held in high esteem among a lot of people. That was something my dad gave me. What is it that you need to thank your parents for that you haven't yet? I think if you will reflect, you will find there at least a few things you can thank them for. And even if it wouldn't be healthy for you to step into contact with your parents because of abuse or manipulation, you can still sit down and you can write out the things you're thankful for and thank God for them. So one phrase is yes, Dad, yes, Mom. Another phrase is thank you. Here's another phrase. Lord, bless my parents. Lord, bless my parents. Part of honoring is being willing to pray for your parents. And I include this because if you have an estranged relationship with your parents, I've just found, I don't have any strange relationship with my parents, but I've found that when I'm angry with someone, that it's very hard to stay angry at someone that I'm praying for. There's something that happens when we pray for people that it begins to melt our heart towards them. And realize when you pray blessing over your parents, it's not like God's gonna drop a new Porsche or a vacation home in their lap. A lot of times that blessing comes in the form of truth and revelation that they might need to hear in their life. So we pray blessing. Honor looks like praying blessing over your parents. Let me give you another phrase. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Now, this is certainly a lot harder than the first three, but this is a part of honoring. And listen, let's just be real. Just as parents can hurt us, so we can hurt our parents. And even if 90% of what went wrong, in your relationship with your parents is on them, there might still be a piece that we have to own. Now you might say, well, they haven't ever apologized and said they're sorry for what they did wrong, so why should I? Here's why. Because God calls us to honor regardless. This commandment wasn't given to parents. It was given to the children of parents. He said, honor your parents. The commandment was given to us. And who knows what might come of our willingness to apologize for our shortcomings. You know, I found sometimes when I'm in an argument with my wife or, you know, we get things wrong at times, there's a part of me that just wants to stay angry. It's like, I'm gonna make her pay, I'm just gonna stay angry. And there's times when my wife will beat me to it and she'll come and say, you know what, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have said that that way. And there's something that happens when she apologizes, like it's impossible for me to stay angry at her. I'm like, I wish I could stay angry, but I just can't because you said I'm sorry. And so there's something that it's like, you know what, I was wrong too. And I think there's something that happens when we initiate and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now, it doesn't always turn out that way, but I think it can. You know, in his book, The Forgotten Commandment, Dennis Rainey shared the story of a girl named Elizabeth who decided to take this command seriously. And the story goes that one day while in church, she sensed the Lord telling her that she needed to ask her dad's forgiveness. Her response was, in the first place, I don't talk to my dad. In the second place, we don't talk about forgiveness. In the third place, I never see him. And in the fourth place, I don't want to. But after not being able to shake this impression from the Lord, Elizabeth agreed. And not long after, an uncle living near her fell sick and was hospitalized, and it brought Elizabeth's dad to town. And so Elizabeth knew she needed to go to the hospital and not only visit her uncle, but apologize to her father. And when she arrived there, there in the lobby sat her father all by himself. And so reluctantly, she walked across the lobby, greeted her dad and said, Dad, God has convicted me that I've been bitter and sarcastic, and that I have not honored you. I wonder if you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And to her astonishment, her stone-cold father, unemotional father, broke down and started crying and said, Elizabeth, thank you for saying that. It's broken my heart, and I forgive you. And that day, God used Elizabeth to start the process of mending a broken relationship with her father. And who knows but that our willingness to step out and apologize might be the very thing God uses to begin the process of healing your relationship. And even if you do step out and ask for forgiveness and nothing changes on your parents' side, listen, you can at least live with the peace in knowing I have been obedient to God and what he's asked me to do. I can't control the outcome, but all I can do is say, you know what? I'm gonna be obedient to what God has asked me to do. Will you honor your parents and ask their forgiveness for the places that maybe you have fallen short? And let me give you one last phrase. And this might be the hardest of all. I forgive you. I forgive you. For many of us, this might be the most difficult part of honor, is choosing to forgive. Someone has said, the longer you carry a grudge, the heavier it gets. The longer you carry a grudge, the heavier it gets. And some of us today have been carrying some grudges towards our parents for a very long time. And you're here today, and the bitterness, the anger is weighing you down. And today, God will set you free if you will forgive. Now, anytime we talk about forgiveness, I think it's helpful to understand what forgiveness is not, okay? So forgiveness does not mean that you are excusing or condoning the sin of your parents. Let me give you another one. Forgiveness does not mean that you magically forget what happened. You know, you hear the phrase thrown around all the time, just forgive and forget. But forgiveness does not mean that you just forget what happened. I love how one writer put it when he said, we do a miracle when we remember and still forgive. Forgiveness also does not mean that what happened didn't hurt. It doesn't mean denying the pain and the hurt it caused. Here's another one to keep in mind. Forgiveness does not mean erasing proper boundaries and limits. For example, let's say you grew up with very abusive and manipulative parents. Forgiving them does not erase the need for boundaries that protect you and your family. Just because we forgive doesn't automatically mean we have to step back into personal contact or we shouldn't protect our kids. Forgiveness does not erase proper boundaries and limits. Here's the point, okay? Forgiveness doesn't erase the past, but forgiveness sets you free from the past. Joyce Meyer is an author and speaker whose ministry has worldwide reach. Some of you know who she is. You've read her books and listened to her speak. But what you may not have known about Joyce is that from a very young age, she was sexually abused by her father at least once a week until the time she was 18. And so she has spent a large part of her life working through the damage done to her by her father. And if you hear her story, she shares how there came a day when she knew that being obedient to God meant that she needed to forgive her dad. And so with the Lord's help, Joyce Meyer decided to forgive. And she shared how the forgiveness happened in stages. And she will tell you that as she went through the process of forgiving them, that the act of forgiving did more for her than anyone else because it set her free. It didn't automatically give her warm, gooey feelings towards her father, but it set her free from all the pain, all the anger, all the bitterness. And it will do the same for you if you will choose to forgive. Will you forgive? And you know, as I was praying with our prayer team before the service, I was reminded that, you know what, there might be some of us, there are some of us here today, who your parents are no longer alive. But just because your parents are no longer alive doesn't mean there might not still be work you need to do in your heart with them. You can still be hanging on to anger and bitterness even when your parents are not on this earth. And forgiveness is what releases and sets us free from the anger and bitterness. So in closing, I want to ask you a question. I want you to ask this question, actually, and just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? You ask him that. He will bring the specific application for what it might look like for you to step out and honor your parents. And I'll just add this. As I was praying this morning, sometimes before Sundays, I'll ask the Lord, is there a picture you want to give me about today? And I felt like the Lord brought me back to a moment. Just last week, we had this huge garden in this house that we bought last year, and it had this big fence to keep deer out. And so it's an 8-foot-tall fence, and there's these big, 4x4x12-foot posts. I mean, it's big. And so it has been hard work, because I'm taking it down now. Taking the fence down, pulling those posts up, it has been hard work. And I just felt like the Lord gave me that picture, because there's some of you who, you know what, there are fences in your relationship. There are some things, barriers between you and your parents. And you know what? Just like it was hard work taking that fence down in my garden, it's going to be really hard work to remove some of those fences. But you know what? I think the Lord wants you to know this morning that if you will step out and begin, he will give you the empowerment to do it. He'll be with you. He'll give you the strength and the courage to remove some of those barriers and some of those fences that are in the way of your relationship with your parents. So let's stand and let's pray as we close. And again, I just want to encourage you right now and even this week to begin just saying, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this command? So Lord, I pray as we yield our hearts to you and invite you to speak to us about what it might look like, what honor looks like in our relationship with our parents, I pray that you would give each and every person listening today, I pray you would give me, Lord, if there's a place where I need to do better in how I'm honoring my parents, I pray you'd give us the courage, the strength, the empowerment to step out and to honor. And Lord, I pray if there are hearts in here today that are cold, that are indifferent towards their parents, Holy Spirit, right now, I pray you would burn away all indifference. The hard heart, I pray you would tenderize our hearts towards our parents. And I pray that as we step out, Lord, I thank you for your promise, that if we will honor our parents, you will honor your promise. And so, Lord, again, I thank you that as we do that, you are going to honor your promise in our lives. I pray you would mend relationships between parents and children, and you would bring people back together. And I pray there would be incredible stories of just your grace of how you brought relationships back together. We pray it all in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen, church. Thanks so much for being here today. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, please come down front. We would love to pray with you. We'll have a prayer team ready. Have a great week. Hope to see you back next week for Michael Jr. Northwoods Online, always great to have you tuning in with us. And again, just praying for you. And I want to encourage you to ask that same question this week. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me? And what does honor look like for me in my relationship with my parents? You ask him, he'll give you the specific application. And when he does, I'm praying courage and strength and empowerment to step out and honor. You have a great week.
Well, what a powerful message on honoring our parents this weekend with Pastor John. And I hope that you've grabbed some nuggets out of that that you're able to apply in your own life and making peace with your parents. Because it's a powerful thing when we come into agreement with what the Bible says and honoring our parents.
Yeah, so
now, good. There are a couple things we talked about at the top of the service. Yeah. group launch with the online groups.
Yes.
I'm so excited about that. Give a little more information about that.
Yeah, me too. So we are having an online group launch. If you are interested in joining a virtual small group, you know, you might meet via FaceTime or Teams or Zoom, whatever really works for you. This event is for you to get connected with others who also are looking to get connected in an online small group. So that is coming up on Thursday, November 4th. It'll be in the evening. It'll be a virtual event, a virtual get together. So again, if you filled out the connection card this morning in the Northwoods app and said that you're watching online, I will email you some more information about that. Or if you can join our Facebook group if you haven't already, and I'm going to be sharing information about that meeting in there. So we would love to have you there. Again, it's just our desire. Yeah. You were talking about this at the beginning, that people are connected in community and that we make this big church feel small. And so that's one of the things that small groups do. You know, they're a place to belong. They're a place to get to grow on your faith journey, to get to know other people. So if you are looking for that kind of community, but something in an online virtual format just works better for you, I really encourage you to come to our online group launch on November 4th.
And speaking of encouraging, Michael Jr. is going to be here next weekend. And I want to make sure that you guys know, get here online. It will not be archived. Yep. He is going to go crazy online. I got to see him a few weeks ago in Dallas.
Oh,
and
really?
It was hilarious. Yeah. So get here for Michael Jr. next Sunday. Invite your friends to come join you at home if you're going to be watching from online. And just enjoy a great message with him. So we love you guys. Have a great rest of your week. And remember to honor your parents.